Number one, you know a lot of the stories. Number two, you know a lot of the wording. You know, if you've grown up in church for any length of time, especially going back 20, 30, 40 years ago, you may very well be familiar with terms like salvation, justification, redemption, reconciliation, all of these things. And they're very important terms. But for many people, it's almost like a foreign language. What does all that mean? Well, on one level, it can all be summed up in that verse, for unto us a child is born. Because all of those words are culminated, if you will, in Jesus. I'll be very, very clear with you. God created the world, and he created the world to be with him. If you remember the story of Adam and Eve, Adam was placed in the Garden of Eden. A little later, along comes Eve. It's the first couple. And the interesting thing about Adam and Eve is not just the first couple, but the fact that God literally walked with them in the garden. If you go back and you read the book of Genesis, you see that. And you know what that means? That means that Adam and Eve had a literal, and I believe face-to-face relationship with the God of the entire universe. We talk often as to why God created us. He created us to worship him. He created us to serve him. He created us to, of course, now in modern times, share the gospel of Jesus. But ultimately, the reason God created us was so that we could be where he is. Unfortunately, something terrible, and I don't know as if I can overstate it, something terrible happened. And that is, sin entered into the garden. And if you ask the question, what is sin? At its core, sin is simply rebellion. Rebellion against God and against his law, if you will, his commands. You say, how did they rebel? Well, God said to them, you could eat of any tree in this Garden of Eden, except one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat from that tree, you will surely die. Now, there's an interesting thought here from that very verse, and that is, if Adam and Eve don't sin, they do not die. So this relationship that we were to have with God was to last forever. It's the one command. And so here they are, they're tending the garden, things are going very, very well, and then the devil comes in the form of a serpent. And he comes and he tempts Eve. At first, Eve says, God said, don't eat the fruit from that tree. And the devil argued with her with his persuasive words. One thing leads to another. She eats the fruit. She comes to Adam. Adam does the same thing. And all of a sudden, the power of sin entered into the world. And if you look at the story of Adam and Eve, a couple of major things happened. Number one, work became hard. Number two, women experienced pain in childbirth. And then number three, probably the worst of it all, although I've never been in labor, I've seen five of them, and I thank God with all that I am that I've never been in labor, okay? With that being said, the worst of them was the fact that Adam and Eve and all of their descendants were kicked out of the garden, which means that close-knit relationship they had with God, that friendship they had with God, however you want to term it, was broken. And so, not only are they kicked out of the presence of God, but the power of sin, the Bible says, entered into the world. And the power of sin then affects every other person that has ever been born. We have been therefore born into sin, which means we sin just like Adam and Eve did. There's one other massive consequence to this. Work now is hard, pain in childbirth, they're kicked out of the garden. Well, sin ultimately brings judgment that lasts for all eternity. Therefore, the ultimate judgment is that you will be separated from God, not only on earth, but through the next age, which is eternal. It lasts forever. And I don't care what term you use from the Bible to call it. Hades, Gehenna. You can call it hell, which is how it's been translated. You can call it destruction like Paul did. You can call it the lake of fire. Call it whatever you want to call it. It's a place where there is suffering and separation. We really are hopeless, let's be honest. But God still loves us, even though we've sinned. He loves us to the point where he said, I don't want people to suffer that kind of judgment. I still want them to be where I am. See, his intent never changed. He never wanted to kick Adam and Eve out of the garden. He never wanted to sever that relationship. And the same is true with us. So he decided to do something about it. He decided to send a son. For unto us a child is born. And Jesus was born the day we celebrate Christmas. He grew in stature. He grew in knowledge. He matured until finally when he was around 30 years old, he started his public ministry. And Jesus did some incredible things. I mean, think about it. He's the greatest teacher that ever lived. He was a preacher. He was a leader of men and women. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. But the greatest thing Jesus did was to die. You see, we needed someone to step in and take our sin away. Because ultimately, sin brings judgment. Sin brings separation. Sin brings destruction. So Jesus steps in. He is the man God, fully man, yet fully God. He's the only one who could do it. And so, however many years, and there's some different thoughts about this, but let's say 33 years after he was born, Jesus is no longer a baby. He's full grown. He's done some incredible things. They beat him. They mocked him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They led him to a place where they nailed him to a cross. And there he died on the cross. Now listen, there were thousands of people who were crucified by the Roman Empire. It was one of their forms, if not the form of capital punishment, execution. So thousands of people died on a cross. What makes Jesus special? Well, Jesus is the child born to us. He is God in the flesh. And when they nailed him to that cross, he was the sacrifice that took away the sins of the world. Now, here's the deal. If your sins are taken away from you, and I don't care what your sins were, if they're taken away from you, it's as though you've never sinned. And therefore, there's nothing hindering you and God any longer. So if your sins are taken away, you're no longer kicked out of his presence. You're no longer under judgment. And instead of spending eternity separated from him, you are spending eternity in his presence, what we would call heaven, right? This is the good news. So Jesus, the God-man, dies on the cross for the sins of the world. And there's only one thing, just one, that we can do. There is nothing else, by the way, that you can do. It doesn't matter how good of a person you are. It doesn't matter how much money you have. You can't purchase this. You can't earn it. There's only one thing that you need to do, and that is to receive Jesus by faith. And again, use whatever term you want to use. In modern times, we say we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. I'm paraphrasing here. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that whoever believes in him shall never perish, but have everlasting life. So term and accept him, put your faith in him, believe in him, however you want to say it. When you believe and put your faith in Jesus and what he did on the cross, all of your sins are washed away. You say, man, you don't know what I've done. I don't care. You don't know what I've done. At the end of the day, Jesus' grace, his forgiveness, is given to any person who puts his or her faith in him. Does that make sense? See, so this is the good news of Christmas. This is why Isaiah says, for unto us a child is given. He literally is a Savior. We were drowning in our sin. We were separated from God for all eternity. But Jesus came and made a way so that our sins would be forgiven and we would be with God. That's good news. That's good news. It's greater than any present I've ever gotten. It is the greatest gift that God could give. It's the greatest gift that you could ever receive. So, with that being said, can we stand together, please? Go ahead and bow your heads if you could, please, with me. And I want to give you an opportunity. If you've never put your faith in Jesus, if you've never accepted him and what he did for us on the cross, then your sins have not been forgiven. God loves you. And his plan, his purpose for you is that you would be where he is forever. So is there anyone in here today, you've never put your faith in Jesus? You've never accepted him and what he's done? He may very well be knocking on your door. So if there is anyone in here today, you'd say, you know what, I want to put my faith in Christ. I want my sins forgiven. Would you just raise your hand wherever you may be? Okay. Anyone else? All right. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for the fact that he came to deal with our sin so that we would be where you are, no longer under judgment, no longer going to destruction. Father, I pray that as we seek your face over these next couple of weeks, as we celebrate Christmas, that we would never forget the real meaning for the season, the real reason for the season. Draw us close to yourself and draw us close to each other, Father. Families, friends, as a church. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, so glad you came out. Lord bless you. Have a great week in Christ.